Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Hi, everyone. It's Wednesday, April 14th. Your Grace Tabernacle 2021. And I want to share with you tonight some of the hidden nuggets of in Psalm 23 that most people will probably never notice or never see. They may memorize it, but they may never see it. I encourage you to not only read this psalm, but take a portion of it every week, maybe a verse. It's only got six verses in it, and so you can take these verses and memorize them easily and recall them as needed, as the Holy Spirit wants you to. But I want to uncover some things tonight that I believe that God will bless you with and encourage your heart to feed on His Word and memorize this, especially when you go to sleep at night. It's a good one to recall and quote out loud. But let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and Your kindness and Your grace. And we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is the wisdom of God. And we thank You, Father, for this Word. And tonight, I just ask that You would use this broadcast and speak into people's lives and bring life and truth there. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your Bible. Let's look at Psalm 23. One of the first things you may not realize, but Psalm 22, 23, and 24 actually go together. They are called messianic psalms, or psalms, the prophetic words that will reveal the coming Messiah at the time that those were written, of course, Old Testament. And so when you read Psalm 23, you need to actually back up and read Psalm 22 and then read Psalm 24. They all go together. And they reveal what the Messiah is going to do when He comes. And of course, He's fulfilled these. And so I want to reveal some of these things to you, except for Psalm 24. There's a portion there that He will reveal when He comes back. But Psalm 22 prophesies about the goodness of God. And it declares that God is our shepherd, of course, in Psalm 23. But Psalm 22 prophesies the goodness of God, that God is going to lay down His life. In fact, the first word or first verse of Psalm 22 is what Jesus quoted on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We'll get to that in a little bit. There's some hidden meaning there that I think will bless you. But Psalm 22 talks about the cross. And so the symbol of Psalm 22 would be the cross. Now, Psalm 23 is a psalm of guidance. Psalm 22 is about the goodness of God. Psalm 23 is about the guidance of God. And of course, the symbol for that would be the crook, the shepherd's crook, you know, that he reaches down and pulls the sheep out of a thicket or something like that. And then Psalm 24 is a prophecy of the coming glory of God that we will all see one day. And of course, the symbol for that would be the crown. So Psalm 22, the symbol would be the cross of the Messiah. And Psalm 23, the symbol would be the shepherd's crook, that he would be a shepherd, a good shepherd. And then Psalm 24 would be the symbol of the crown. So you have the cross, and you have the shepherd's crook, and you have the crown. And each of these psalms, Psalm 22, represents the past. This is what He's done in the past. He's already done this. And then the Psalm 23 would represent the present. He wants to guide us now in paths of righteousness, and we need His guidance now. So it represents His work in the present. And Psalm 24 represents His work in the future that we will all get to see, the glory of God when the Lord returns. So I want to jump right into this psalm. In Psalm 23, verse 1, David writes this psalm, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, surprisingly, David's not the first one who called the Lord his shepherd. Actually, Jacob, back in Genesis 49, I think it's verse 24, Jacob uses this metaphor to call God his shepherd. Later on, Moses used this metaphor to call God a shepherd, and the prophets even spoke of God being the shepherd of Israel. So David, he didn't come up with this on his own. He had heard about God being the shepherd, and he says personally, the Lord is my shepherd. And so that's where we all need to go in our life, that we need to make sure that we have made the Lord is our personal shepherd. And so when we look at the Old Testament, we often see the fulfillment of the Old Testament in the New Testament. When we read the New Testament, we can often look back and see how it was concealed in the Old Testament. All of it points to Jesus. And so the old saying, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, which is very, very true. The Bible fits together perfectly in every way. So Jacob and Moses and the prophets all called God shepherd, so it's not unusual for David to say that he is my shepherd as well. And so Jesus is known to us as the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus said of himself, he said, I am the good shepherd. Why is he the good shepherd? He answers that question in John chapter 10, verse 11, because I lay down my life for the sheep. My life is not for my own to go pursue what I want to do. My life is to lay down my life so that I can be the sacrifice for the sheep. And Jesus said in another place, no man takes my life from me. You know, Jesus wasn't forced to do this. He laid down his life willingly, part of God's plan to be the good shepherd, and he laid it down for us. Now, let's go back to the cross for a moment. Remember, on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's actually quoting Psalm 22, verse 1, the Messianic Psalm, saying this is what the Messiah will do. He's quoting Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, my God. So why didn't he say, my God, my God, my God? Because God is three. Well, because Jesus is God. And so Jesus on the cross, he said, my God, looking to the Father. My God, looking to the Holy Spirit and Jesus himself being the Son of God and God the Son. So we see a picture of the Trinity right there in Jesus talking to the Trinity, talking to the Father, talking to the Holy Spirit. Why hast thou forsaken me? He's quoting Psalm 22. And if you look at Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 and Psalm 24 together, you'll start to get a bigger picture of all of this. In Psalm 22, for example, this is the Messiah speaking. And the Messiah is going to say in Psalm 22, verse 6 of Psalm 22, he says, but I am a worm, not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. So this is the Messiah saying of himself, I'm a worm and not a man. And he's not talking about metaphorically describing himself as lower than anything on the earth. I'm just a worm. He's not saying it like that. I am a worm. I have a purpose. And specifically, he's talking about a literal worm. I'm not a worm, but I'm like a worm. Metaphorically, in the sense there was a worm at this time in Jerusalem that was grown and harvested so that when they would take this worm and they would crush it under a stone, it would create a purple dye, which was very rare and very expensive. And these worms were harvested so that they could be crushed and made a purple dye. And purple was a very costly color of material because it was expensive to get this dye that came from these worms. And so purple is a sign of royalty or kings or majesty. And some priests even wore purple robes. So Jesus is saying, I am laying down my life like a worm in order to make others kings and priests. And we know who he's talking about because of Jesus' death on the cross. He said in Revelation, and he said it in, and it's also said in Peter, that we are a kingdom of, we are priests and kings in the kingdom of God. because of Jesus. So there's just a lot of depth here, a lot of meat here that takes some time to pull these things out. When Jesus is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, that he was bruised for our iniquities. That word bruised there can also be interpreted crushed. So Jesus was crushed for our iniquities to make us kings and priests, according to Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And so it's important to see that Jesus is the good shepherd. He willingly laid down his life. He is the king, but he did this in order that he could make us kings and priests unto the Lord. And so we see so much messianic symbolism here that Jesus wants us to grasp from his word. In the Old Testament, it points to Jesus. In the New Testament, it reveals that Jesus is the genuine Messiah. So back to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And this word Lord is the word Yahweh that we say, or Jehovah, or Lord in English. And it is the same name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush when he said, "Who am I going to say you are that sent me to Pharaoh?" And he says, "You say that I am that I am." That's the meaning of the Hebrew name, the unpronounceable name for God called Yahweh. And so it's just important for us to see some of these little hidden things that are there and get a greater meaning and depth out of them. And so when we say that to the Lord, "You are my Lord, you are my covenant-keeping God, you are my God that I put my trust in, you are my creator, my maker, you are the I am of my life," then you can fill in the blank. You know, God says, you know, "I am." And so when we need a shepherd, he is, "I am your shepherd. You shall not want." And so we can say that with a conviction and with a great faith, "I shall not want," meaning that I have everything that I need to fulfill my assignment here on this earth. He is what satisfies me. Another place in the scripture says Jesus is the desire of nations. He is what people have been looking for, even though they don't know it necessarily. And so he is the satisfaction of our heart. "I shall not want. He will be my satisfaction." Now, David wrote this psalm, Psalm 23. Most people think, a lot of people think, that he wrote this when he was just a shepherd boy before he became the king and everything, but that's not true. Actually, he wrote Psalm 23 in one of the most horrifically testing times of his life. When his own son Absalom was after the throne and wanted his father's throne and chased his father basically out of Jerusalem, and David was fleeing for his life. It was one of the most horrendous times of David's life. It wasn't while he was sitting out in the field tending the sheep and everything was cozy and nice and sweet. It was in a difficult time in his life that he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now, I say that for a purpose, because someone listening tonight may be in a very difficult place, and you're in maybe one of the most greatest trials of your life at this moment, and you can look to the scriptures and find comfort, because David did. He wrote this in a terrible time in his life, and he was able to find the truth that "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Many times when we're in a difficult place in life, we're just wanting this thing to hurry up and get over with, this trial to be over with, and the circumstances change, and so we can get back to normal or whatever it may be. But you must realize the Lord knows everything that's going on in your life. He has an assignment upon you to be in a certain place at a certain time, to meet certain people, to have your character developed. He knows what he's doing on your timeline. And so the very thing, the trial that you may be in at this moment that you're just wishing would hurry up and get over, may be the very thing that you need in order to learn, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything that I need right now in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of this turmoil? In other words, it's part of your journey. Part of your journey. I never forget when I was in Bible college and it was a really difficult time. My first year getting adjusted to all these tests and exams and studying all night and all that. And a neighbor of mine, a fellow student who was about a year older than me, he said, you know, what if us being here in Bible college is not about just hurrying up and getting our degree and getting out there and ministering? But what about if the journey is about us enjoying where we are right now, rather than just hurrying up and wanting to get things over with? And that made a lot of sense to me, and that made me settle down and calm down and made me practice contentment where I was at the very moment that I was wanting to hurry up and just get my degree and get it over with. He made it clear to me that it's not about just getting a degree. It's about, this is part of our journey right now. There are things that God wants to accomplish in our character, in our life, that are vital, are necessary. And though we may want to hurry up and get it over with, that's really not God's plan. He wants us to rest in His care and trust in Him through the process. So it's very, very important that you and I can say with a strong conviction in our voice, the Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh, the Lord. I shall not want. It's important for us to be able to know that God knows exactly where we are, and He knows what He's doing, and He's very good at it. So this is part of your journey, right where you are. Paul said he had to learn to be content in all things. Contentment is learned, and hopefully we can learn it quickly. But we do need to learn contentment, that truly everything I have need of, God has faithfully provided in the past, and certainly He'll provide for me in the future. So when we look at these Psalms, I'm going to wrap this up for tonight. Just get you started, whet your appetite a little bit. Psalm 22 describes the coming of the Good Shepherd. This has already happened. Jesus has already come. He's here. That was talking about His past. He's coming. He is here. But then Psalm 23 talks about guidance, and it's talking about my present day circumstances. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. His goodness will be manifested through this, and His guidance will be manifested through this. So presently, let Him guide you. You be the sheep. Learn to hear His voice. And be content where you are. And know that I will not want. I shall not want. God takes care of me. And then one day we'll look forward to the future when we'll see the glory of the Lord in His return. And that'll be a wonderful thing. So stay faithful in this process. Stay faithful today. I'd like to pray for you. Father, I thank You for my friends and brothers and sisters who are watching tonight. And I pray, Father, that they will be able to say with strong conviction, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That they'll be able to enjoy the journey from where they are today to where they're going to be next. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So good to know the Lord's our shepherd. We don't have to fear. He knows how to communicate to us. He knows how to get us from point A to point B. So let's relax in the journey and enjoy the journey, okay? God bless you. Look forward to seeing you soon. Till next time.